Both last Sunday and this Sunday, we hear in the gospel about John the Baptist. And last Sunday, you know, he was exhorting us to think about the question, given how we spend our time, for whom or for what are we preparing? And John exhorts us to prepare for the Lord, to prepare for the coming of the Lord. In the gospel today, John the Baptist says some things that are eminently practical. One could almost say yawningly obvious. When he says, basically, feed the hungry, take care of the poor, don't practice extortion, don't falsely accuse anyone. In the seminary, we used to say, kind of roll our eyes and say, yes, yes, avoid evil and do good. We know, we know. But recently, I've been reading in the scriptures over and over again where we hear the New Testament tells us, I write to tell you of what you already know. The inspired word of God in today's gospel challenge us that, you know, do I really know what I think I know? And even if I know what I think I know, do I do what I know I should do? Sometimes it just makes a big difference to actually say out loud what I already know. So, for example, you know, if I'm angry at my brother, to also remind myself, even if I'm still angry at him, I also love him. Makes a huge difference to actually say it out loud. To actually say out loud that I should not cheat on my taxes. That I should not mutilate my body with elective sterilizations. That I should give generously and not hoard selfishly. That I should care for the poor and love this person or that person who I do love. Right? So, you know, now I don't roll my eyes anymore when I see the scripture reminding me of what I already know. Because now I know that I need to be reminded. But there's a couple things in that first reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah that I don't remember ever knowing, if I ever knew them. Zephaniah says some powerful things. First of all, he's the last of the prophets before John the Baptist. And much of his writing is very strong and very harsh about sin and punishment. But then today, in this gospel, or in this reading today, he paints us a picture of what redemption will look like. And it's amazingly beautiful, breathtaking, really, almost unbelievable. You know, he says, shout for joy, daughter Zion, sing joyfully, Israel. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. Fear not, be not discouraged. The Lord is in your midst. Blah, 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 right? All things that we already know. And then he says this. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. The Hebrew of that last sentence is actually more literally not he will renew you in his love, but he will be silent over you in his love. He will be silent over you in his love. I think maybe the translators just had a hard time believing, trusting the text that says we have a God who, once he has removed the judgment from our midst, right? Zephaniah says, the Lord has removed the judgment against you. He's prophesying when Christ will die on the cross to remove the judgment, to forgive us our sins, and when Christ will rise from the dead to restore us to righteousness. And then when God looks at the redeemed and restored soul, he struck silent at the beauty of you and me. Struck dumb. And I just think the translators were just like, that can't be what it means. But we have a God, Zephaniah proclaims to us, who is so enamored with our beauty, redeemed and restored beauty, that he's speechless. St. Catherine of Siena said that if we could see the beauty of the soul once purified and forgiven from confession, we'd die 1,000 deaths to see it again. That's the vision that fills up God. He's like, that's who I created you to be. And there you are. And then the second thing, the very next line that Zephaniah goes on to say is, this God who is first stunned into silence at the beauty of the redeemed soul, then he goes on to say, he will sing joyfully because of you. I think, to my knowledge, that's the only time in the entire Bible where it says God sings. There's some lines in the Gospels where Jesus sings some hymns at the end of the Last Supper, but that's a different context. Here, God catches sight of the beauty of our redeemed soul, and he's struck silent. And then he breaks into song, joyful song, over you. That's powerful. Today is Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. And technically the reason why it's Rejoice Sunday is because we're over halfway to Christmas, which is pretty exciting, right? And we're getting ready, we're over halfway to the celebration of the beginning of our redemption, where God becomes one of us, to celebrate that great feast. And that's why we wear rose, because it's rejoicing. We're rejoicing to draw closer. You know, we lighten the penance that we do, the purple that is the sign of our penance. We lighten that with a rose color for rejoicing. But it's also Gaudete Sunday, because God is the one rejoicing when he catches sight of us redeemed and breaks into joyful song. And that makes us joyful too, to see our God rejoicing over us. So the homework for the week: go to confession. Go to confession. And then afterwards, in that purified state, spend some time quietly, silently, lovingly gazing upon the Lord, knowing that he's rapt, lovingly gazing back at you. And then imagine him breaking into song over you. Lean into that. Live in that.